Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word tonight is our psalm reading, Psalm 25, verses 4 to 10. And before we begin our sermon, I would ask you to turn in your worship bulletin together with me to the collect of the day that's printed out. That is the collect or the prayer of the day for this upcoming Sunday. Our series for this year has been the collects in the season of Lent. So would you pray together with me? Oh God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, over the years, over many years, the Sundays in the season of Lent came to be given names that were taken from the first word of the introit or Bible passage for that particular Sunday. Last Sunday was the first Sunday in Lent, and it took on the name Invocavit from Psalm 91, verse 15. Invocavit me et exaudiam eum, which means he will call upon me. That's the Lord speaking. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Now, this coming Sunday, you've noticed perhaps from your bulletin, is called Reminiscere Sunday. Psalm 25, Reminiscere miserationem tuarum Domine. Remember, Lord, your mercies. Reminiscere. Of course, we get the word reminisce from that. Remember your mercies, O Lord. Well, if you were paying attention as we read Psalm 25, you perhaps noticed that there's three remembers in there, one after another. It says, remember your mercy and your steadfast love. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. And then, Lord, remember me according to your steadfast love. Those words may ring a bell for you. The thief dying on the cross said, what, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But out of those three, there's one that's curious. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. And that raises an interesting question. How can the Lord, who knows everything, and who has been there from the beginning and has foreseen everything that happens in the future, how can the Lord not remember something? How can he not remember? Now, looking at you, and you looking at me, I think we understand very well how we don't remember things. For how many of us has this happened? I know there was a reason why I came into this room. We forget things right and left, and it happens more and more as we get older. But the Lord, how did the Lord forget something? How could he forget something? Well, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll let the light blink for a little bit. We'll come back to that in just a moment. It wasn't long ago that one of our people here at St. Peter said to me, he said, Pastor, I've come over the years to see just how fragile we are. How fragile we are. That's true, isn't it? Especially as we do get older. A person gets into their 90s, and sometimes it seems like it just takes a puff of wind, and next thing you know, you're going to their funeral. But when we're young, we don't think on those terms. We don't think in that way. We don't, most of us anyway, believe that anything is going to touch us. Now, problems, it's other people that have problems. Injuries, other people get injured. Getting sick, it's other, it happens to other people. Tragedies in their family, that's for somebody else. It's not for me. For me, I'm kind of like Superman. The bullets just bounce off of me. That's how we think, or tend to think, when we're younger. And maybe it's because of that, that the ancient Greeks, when they built the temple of Apollo, their god, one of their gods, at Delphi, they carved these words there. They inscribed the words, Gnothi Sauton, which means, know yourself. Know yourself. Or maybe, know your limits. Now, if you're a Christian person, you will pray the words of Psalm 25. And you'll pray them very earnestly to the Lord. You'll say, Lord, make me to know your ways. Lord, teach me your paths. Lord, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. And those are good words, and it's a good prayer. But when you pray it, you may not realize how dangerous it is, because you are not ready to know the Lord's ways, to follow the Lord's paths, to hear his truth, to be taught, to know that he's the God of your salvation, and to wait for him all day long. You are not ready for any of that stuff unless you have started to know yourself and to know what you really are. Let's take an example of somebody who very apparently knew themselves. And that's the person, whoever it was, who wrote the collect or the prayer of the day for the second Sunday in Lent, this coming Sunday. And this is what he said. He said, O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. Lord, you see it. And you see it quite clearly. The question is, not does God see it, but do you see it? And when you pray those words, do you see it? Do you understand what's being said there? When Christianity first came into the pagan world, the Greco-Roman world, and when it first came on the scene, the pagan and unbelieving world didn't know what to do with it. And eventually they came to the conclusion that Christianity is a religion for slaves and a religion for losers. It's not for people who get things done. It's not for people who make things happen. It's not for powerful people. It's not for great people. Well, a Christian person can get things done. A Christian person can make things happen. We cook dinner, we mow the lawn. Every morning we have to get up and go to work, and we can sing along with everybody else. How does it go? I owe, so off to work I go. And there's any number of things that are beneath you that you can get done, and you can make them happen. But the things that are above you, the things that last, the things that are eternal, the things that are permanent, you can't even touch them. You have no influence over them. You have no power over them. You are completely fragile when it comes to anything that counts. And any Christian person will tell you that to be the case, especially folks we hear of in the Bible. King David, what did he say? The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. But what did he say about himself? He said, surely, in other words, you can bank on this one, I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Prophet Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, said, woe is me, for I am a sinful man. And St. Paul, one of the apostles, said, who will rescue me from this body of death? In other words, my sinful heart and my sinful thoughts, they're like a sinking ship before Almighty God. And sooner or later, if you're a child of God, you're going to end up with these people. You're going to end up with King David. Surely I was sinful. You're going to end up with Isaiah. Woe is me. You're going to end up with St. Paul. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Because if you don't end up there, you're going to end up nowhere. But sooner or later, you're going to end up with the only thing that you've got going for you, and that is you say to the Lord, Lord, please remember not. Remember not my sins, the sins of my youth. Remember not my transgressions. Instead, according to your steadfast love, remember me. We still haven't answered the original question. How is it that the good Lord, who knows all things, could forget something, not remember something, not remember what you have been, not remember what you have done, not remember your sin, not remember your big mouth, not remember your proud attitude, not remember your jealous nature, not remember your quickness to doubt, not remember your slowness to believe, not to remember your sin? How could that happen? And we go back to the words, know yourself. What are you? If the Holy Spirit's there and if you're a Christian person, you know what you are before Almighty God. Surely I was sinful at birth, starting right out of the starting gate, sinful at the time my mother conceived me. That is what I am. And yet, when you open the pages of your Bible, it says something strange. You hear about your Lord Jesus, and what you hear is this. Sin? What sin? What sin? Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That doesn't work. How can they be scarlet and white? They must have gone from one to the other. The sin must have gone somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For our sake, the Lord God made him, our Lord Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, your sin is gone. But where did it go? Where did it go? Well, we know that it went upon our Lord Jesus. We know that the Lord Jesus took our sin. And we know that he gave us his righteousness. And if your sin is gone and all you have is Jesus' righteousness, when your heavenly Father looks at you, what is there for him to remember? What is there for him to remember? Your sin, it doesn't exist. It's gone. It's forgiven. It's pardoned. I mean, the old pagans, they were right. They were right when they said, know yourself, know what you really are. But their advice, while it was true, was incomplete. And it was insufficient. And that is why the Bible adds something to it. It says, yes, know yourself. Know what you are. But also, know the Lord. Know your Savior Jesus. Know the cross that he went to for you. Know that he wrote his name on you when you got baptized and said, you belong to me, I'm claiming you for my own. Know that he gives you his body and blood and Holy Communion. Why does he do it? Is it a church ritual? No, he gives you his holy body and blood so that you would know that your sin is forgiven and it's taken away and that it's pardoned and none of it is held against you. And not only that, as a Christian person, you know that even in this life, the Lord hears your prayers. He grants them according to his wisdom, and he does it not just simply to give you answers to questions or solutions to problems, but he does it so that you can learn faith. Faith in him, in all of the small fears and concerns and worries of this life, so that you can move on in faith to the bigger things, the things that are eternal, salvation, forgiveness, pardon, everlasting life together with the Lord, and learn trust in him. And so it is. We recognize, yes, know yourself, but above all, know the Lord. Know who it is that is your God. Know what he did for you. Know what you are before him. And then you can pray. Oh God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.